Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing that we all have in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 552nd edition of SDG. And the title of this message, folks, is 2022 Endgame Update Number 16. And then later in this message, after we cover all the news that you'll never hear on the legacy media, we're going to tie it into knowing about the beast. Now, there's only one book that can tell us the future with absolute certainty, and that's the Holy Bible. And it warns us of a wicked world leader, an evil dictator yet to come. Now, he has many aliases, but two of them are the beast and the Antichrist. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So this beast, folks, he will literally be the visible expression of the invisible devil, the Satan himself. And Satan's going to give his son this great, great power. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can know the beast and not get caught unawares. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people. And what are we doing, folks? We're just passing through. So refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus hype. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started before we get into the new news with something from last week's episode. Now, actually, we're going to look at two things this week. Namely, Madison, and then Nina. So we've been following this congressional rep from North Carolina named Madison Cawthorn and his story since day one when he accused the D.C. swamp of inviting him to an orgy and drug party. Now, we've heard that clip several times, so I'm not going to play it again. Go back into the archives if you want to hear it. Well, the attacks on Madison have continued, for better or worse, and just this Tuesday, he lost the primary. So what's the truth about this Madison Cawthorn? Well, folks, I'm not sure. But here's three comments from people from North Carolina and what they had to say about him. The first commenter said, Cawthorn is either a liar or a coward, neither of which deserves to be rewarded with elected office. He needs to name names or STFU, and we all know what that stands for. The second commenter said, and you know what, he's actually right. Madison should have come out and named names. Number two, this person said, here's a thought. Make every politician and bureaucrat retake an oath of office that includes the words, I will fulfill these duties under pain of death as a traitor if I fail. Then give them a bullet to the neck if they commit treason. Fewer scumbags would run for office. Now, there's some truth there, isn't there, folks? There really is. But anyways, the third person, and this is what got me thinking, who is this Madison Cawthorn? Well, this person says he's a rhino. He voted for the National Red Flag Bill in the drafting of our daughters, yet everyone is trying to save him because he is better than the alternative. I am sick to death of that BS strategy. He's a demon rat. Can't we get a true conservative? Well, folks, I don't know what to think of this guy, Madison Cawthorn, anymore. But when he called the swamp out for their drug and sex parties, I thought, oh, finally, we got somebody there that's going to start doing something. But then all of this happened. Now, there's one thing I know for sure, and that's that we really don't know the truth on this and so many other news items. And that's all part of Project or Operation Mockingbird that the CIA implemented with the media back in the 50s. But we've got to move on. Let's move on to this nitwit Nina. You know, Biden's Minister of Truth, Nina Jankowicz, participated in a secret NATO-funded cabal to subvert Western democracies using disinformation as cover. Now, this was a feature article in the Revolver. I think it came out Tuesday, maybe. And, you know, they referred to her as Nina Moaning Myrtle Jankowicz. And they called her a joke. And she literally is a joke, folks. This is a Harry Potter superfan turned propaganda manager. So if you want to call her that. So she was chosen with very little vetting because nobody knew anything about her to head the Disinformation Governance Board. Now, right after this article came out, she resigns. Listen to this latest clip from the nitwit Nina concerning the denial of the quote-unquote deep state. It's a short quote.
Talking about the deep state and things like that, which is a thread among conspiracy communities here in the United States, that there is this secret cabal here in Washington working to undermine the American people. It couldn't be farther from the truth as someone who works with and around public servants every day.
So that's it, folks. Whatever one thinks of this term deep state, this nitwit Nina badly wants each and every one of us to dismiss this concept of a secret group operating out of Washington as like pure nonsense. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. In fact, Nina knows this isn't the truth, and it's the exact opposite of what she claimed in this clip, because her name appeared on one of the most explosive and aggressively censored national security leaks of the century. And this leak in question exposed the Integrity Initiative. It's a dark government-funded NGO. Now, that's a non-governmental organization, and we've talked about those. You have to watch out for them because they fall in this gray zone. They don't have to be accountable to we the people, and yet they're not corporations. They're nonprofits. They're protected by the veil of corporatocracy, so to speak, yet they operate in this area where they're advancing the agenda of the globalists without any accountability. So anyways, this UK government-funded NGO, the Institution for Statecraft, isn't it? It was founded in 2015, and the Integrity Initiative boasted a similar motto to this group: defending democracy against disinformation. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. So this nitwit Nina, her name appears in this 2018 leak, and right after the Revolver released all this information, she resigns. Like I said, you can't make this stuff up, folks. And then the Biden regime then goes to deep state insider Michael Chertoff to lead the Disinformation Board. Now, remember, he's the man who previously targeted the Gateway Pundit, Breitbart, to name a few, as disinformation purveyors. And he is one of the deniers of the Hunter Biden laptop lie. You know, he's out there saying there's nothing to see here. Move on. So they announced on Wednesday, the day after the nitwit Nina resigns and the Revolver article comes out exposing her as a deep state insider, we get Michael Chertoff. We go out of the boiling water into the fire, so to speak. So he's a Biden laptop denier, and he's leading our government's disinformation board. Now, he worked for an attorney at Covington and Burling, and he's the co-author of the Patriot Act, allowing the federal government to spy on you and me. And he's a board member of this website, Alliance for Securing Democracy, that claimed it was tracking Russian disinformation during the Trump presidency. But anyways, folks, I think the bottom line here is that we just went from one deep state insider to another. And it's awful. We deserve better, but we're not going to get better until we stand up and say no more. I've been saying that for a long time. So in this venture that Chertoff's in now, they're going to go after every alt media. And, you know, this show isn't that big, so I don't know if we're even going to make the radar. But who knows? The bottom line is that they're doing the exact opposite of what they claim.
Shazam!
That's right, Gomer. And the light of truth can do that. So what we need to do as purveyors of the truth is to shine this light
in these dark places and let the cockroaches scatter. So let's keep shining that light and let's get started now with Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, let's get started with the coronavirus heist. Okay. Why aren't you shutting off? That thing just kept going and going and going like the Energizer Rabbit, you know? Anyways, just when the scamdemic appears to be losing all of its steam, this comes out. New York City Health Department's investigating a possible case of monkeypox in the Big Apple. And it's strange, but my mother-in-law's power was out, timed her. We got her in the family got her an iPad for Christmas when we helped her set it up. And we were talking, and I said, so what were you doing? She said, I was just watching a news report on the monkeypox outbreak. So there's this unnamed patient, it's always like that, being treated at Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan. And isn't that one of the COVID hotspots from the last scam? Now, this has been confirmed by city health officials. That ought to make you trust it, huh, folks? And they've implemented the appropriate isolation protocols and are conducting preliminary tests to confirm the diagnosis. Now, if positive, the test will be sent to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. And don't you just love that? The CDC, Disease Control, and it'll be confirmed. Now, the health department's epidemiologists will follow up with those who've been in contact with the patient. Oh, there's our contact tracing. And then what comes next, folks? The scare and the fear and then the lockdowns and all these other stupid protocols. Now, this monkeypox, it's a little different than COVID. The difference is that you need direct physical contact for transmission. And the first recorded cases were in the Democratic Republic of Congo back in the 70s. And the number of cases in West Africa have increased over the last decade. And there's an infectious disease expert at Johns Hopkins. His name is Amish Adjila. And he told DailyMail.com on Thursday that the virus is spreading via physical touch. Now, remember that. Plus, it manifests as poxes. They almost look like those blisters you get from smallpox. I'm not minimizing this, folks, but I'm saying that you need direct physical contact. And then there is a manifestation that cannot be denied. So it's not a sneeze, a sniff, or a sniffle. It could be confused for the invisible enemy, the China virus. No, you have direct contact for transmission. You have to have direct contact for transmission. And then there's a manifestation. So I don't know how this is going to work. But hold on, folks. It gets worse. So right as all this is happening, the Biden administration buys millions of doses of this monkeypox vaccine after cases are confirmed in Massachusetts. So on Thursday, Newsweek reported that the federal government ordered 13 million monkeypox vaccines from this European biotech firm named Bavarian Nordic. Now, that was a total purchase of $119 million. And this is called the Jynneos vaccine. And it's about 10 bucks a dose. But hold on, there's even more, folks. You can't make this stuff up. So remember Event 201 held at Johns Hopkins the fall of 2019, staging a coronavirus outbreak? Well, now there's Event 202. And this was held in Germany with the health ministers from the other G7 nations. And this decision follows the release of a report from the Independent Panel for Pandemic Preparedness and Response, known as IPPPR. And despite the issuance of this report to the WHO last year titled Making COVID-19 the Last Pandemic, this report threatens that there's going to be a monkeypox outbreak. Like I said, you can't make this stuff up. And it could kill as many as 250 million people. with 3 billion infections in an 18-month period. Now, do you remember that truck that rolled over with the monkeys getting loose and running around? We talked about it a couple months ago. And I remember the lady got bit and she was on the news? Well, it's been a while. But I'm starting to think they were gaming this all along. So the Associated Press reported that these monkeys were on their way to the CDC-approved quarantine facility after arriving from the island that was called, I'm trying to remember, was off the coast of Africa near Madagascar. I can't remember the name of that island. But anyways, they were being unloaded from JFK, and they were going to be driven down to Fort Detrick in Maryland. And the route there is Route 15 through Bloomsburg, PA, and that's where the truck had the accident. Now, get this. It even gets worse, folks. As all of this is unfolding, guess who's back in the news now? None other than the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, and he's explaining this new technology. So let's call this clip Bourla again. Remember, he was in the news quite a bit, then we hadn't heard about him much at all. And well, he's back in the news again. Let's see, I can't find him. Here it is. So he has a what he's calling a compliance chip in the Pfizer meds now. And just listen to this.
It is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance. The insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
I'm as serious as sin, folks, and I'm telling you, if you deny sin, then you don't understand reality. But yeah, Paul, you can't make this stuff up. But we got to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, right, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, bu means dance. Ki means steal from the verb, kabu meaning to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's just flattening the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflation, before we're done, stealing it all. Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, here on SDG, we've been warning you about the food crisis. And in our prepper section with Henrietta Coop Talk, we've been talking about how you can put away food. You can buy the food-grade buckets at Walmart for about $5 with a lid, get some salt and some bay leaves, and then pack some beans and rice. We talked about that. It's in the archives. Check it out, folks. But now the food crisis warnings are coming from the mainstream. Sources that are outside or apart from the alt media characters, you know. And the sad thing is that the mainstream media isn't picking up on what the mainstream sources are out there warning about. This is more of their lesser magic, more of their white magic, so to speak, where they disclose everything before it happens, and then we become victims through consent. And we talked about that, too. So here's the latest. This was a government official warning of an apocalyptic global food shortage. Now, the governor of the Bank of England is warning in this next clip I'm going to play for you that global food price rises, and he's helpless in the face of surging inflation as the economy is. And what's the scapegoat now, folks? The conflict in Ukraine. So this man, his name is Andrew Bailey, said that he has run out of horsemen when counting the shocks facing Britain with runaway energy and food costs, all being driven by global forces beyond his control. You can't make this up, but listen to the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey talking about this. And then there's nothing from the mainstream media.
And then I'm afraid the one that I'm going to sound, I guess, rather apocalyptic about is food. So when I was in Washington at the IMF World Bank spring meetings a month or so ago, and you know, we had the Ukrainian finance minister there. I did spend most of my time in meetings. People think I spent most of my time walking out of meetings. I didn't actually, but only when the Russian finance minister came on. But I have to tell you that, I mean, I think this is a big concern, because I think two things that the Ukrainian finance minister said. One is, Ukraine does have food in store, but it can't get it out at the moment. Two, while he was optimistic about crop planting, you know, as you know, Ukraine is a major supplier of wheat, major supplier of oil, of cooking oils. And he said, you know, he was pretty optimistic about planting, interestingly, but he said at the moment, you know, we have no way of shipping it out. As things stand, it's getting worse. And that is a major worry, and it's not just, I have to tell you, a major worry for this country, it is a major worry for the developing world as well. And so if I had to sort of, sorry for being apocalyptic for a moment, but that's a major concern.
So there you have it. And like I said, here's how the legacy media covered this story. So there's something very dark and sinister at play here. And there was an article titled America's Full Spectrum Decline, written by Richard Gale and Dr. Gary Null. And in it, and I want to read this one quote, it stated that the mainstream media, and here's the quote, is politically and ideologically aligned with Washington's globalist agenda to dismantle the foundations of an authentic democracy and launch a great reset to suppress individual rights and liberties under the control of a technologically driven regime. Now, it goes on to say, even more insidious, the private media, as the fourth branch of government, is subservient to the U.S. intelligence agencies. And folks, we covered all of this here, explaining how the CIA gets in and controls mainstream media to advance the State Department's agenda. And then it goes on to say, which operate independently from executive and legislative oversight. And then here's the concluding points here. Individual rights and freedoms are the collateral damage from this covert war of violence against the American public. And that's we the people, folks. And then it concludes, Silicon Valley has become a force far more powerful than the lobbyists on K Street. And that's where all the lobbyists are in Washington, D.C., folks, to ensure that the corporate Democrats are raised to a position of absolute power. And that's what we're seeing here. Look at what's going on in the primary votes for the Senate seat between Dr. Oz and, who is it, Mastriano? Allegheny County, here, the second largest county in Pennsylvania, will not have their votes counted until next Monday. Folks, this is insane. And that's what I'm talking about. There is some force here trying to give power to the Democrats. And what's that have to do with the Republican primary? Well, I think what they're doing is they're trying to figure out which Republican candidate for this open Senate seat here in Pennsylvania is going to be the least likely to win against the Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, who's going to be on the ballot for the Democrats. Now, talking about truth, did you hear this report about the former French Marine who was fighting over in Ukraine? And he was interviewed on a French radio station, Sud Radio, with Adrian Boquet. And he said that he had witnessed a lot of war crimes while over in the Ukraine. But here's the twist. Those war crimes were committed by Ukrainian soldiers and not by Russian soldiers. And he was enormously alarmed that Europe is sending weapons to Ukraine neo-Nazis. And this is a quote. They wear all kinds of Nazi symbols on their uniforms. They don't hide these symbols. What is more, they boast about it, he said. And here's another quote. I worked with them and gave them medicine. And do you know what they said? They said they would skin Jews or blacks if they had the chance. Now, this isn't aligning with what the mainstream narrative is about saving, quote-unquote, democracy and our Western values in Ukraine. Like I said, you can't make this stuff up. And Adrian goes on to say, people can say whatever they want. I was there. I saw what happened there. And he emphasized that there are many dozens of videos out there documenting these war crimes. He saw a barn holding Russian prisoners of war that had been beaten up and tied up. And fighters from the Azov battalion asked them who the officers were. And each Russian soldier was shot in the knees with an AK-47. And he said, I have videos to prove all this. Otherwise, I wouldn't dare say such a thing. So they shot each Russian soldier in the knee. And then as they came to the officers, they were immediately shot in the head. And I know this is graphic, folks, but these truths need to be said. And that's how it goes, at least in the Azov battalion, you know, the Nazi battalion that we covered here with exhaustive proof showing that it's real. And the mainstream media prior to this whole Ukrainian-Russian narrative actually published articles on this. Then he went on to say that he had seen American cameramen blatantly staging footage, and we've talked about that on here too, and Ukrainian army hiding ammunition in homes at night without informing the civilians. And then Russian intelligence picks up on this, and then they bomb these munition depots, which are in residential areas, and then the whole atrocity of the Russian actions comes out. Folks, I've been telling you since day one, the Ukrainians are not the lily-white saints that the media portrays them to be. And this much we can say for certain. They're deep state cheerleaders here in the U.S. and in Western Europe want to pump them with billions of our tax dollars to keep this war going on indefinitely because Putin and Russia are standing up against this global reset, the Great Reset. Now, if they can make this war bigger and make it last longer, all the better. There's no motivation on either side to sit down and negotiate. The only truth we know, and let's be very clear about this, the only truth we know for certain is that American politicians on both sides, so the rhinos and the Democrats, are sending billions of dollars to Ukraine for their kickbacks. And there's going to be millions of dollars kicked back to them in the form of graft. And of course, let's not forget about 10% for the big guy. I'm telling you, folks, believe absolutely nothing you hear from the media and question everything you see. The illegitimate president, Biden, and his regime owns this hot mess, and they're paying off the media, and the CIA and the State Department are working with the media to create a narrative that is not the truth but advances their agenda for a great reset. But, folks, we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Where are you at, Henrietta? Where you at? There she is. Okay, folks. So what I'd like to share with you today is communications. And this was inspired by an article written, a Wild Bunch Dispatch newsletter written by Brandon Smith over at altmarket.us. Thank you, Brandon. Boy, I'd like to talk to this guy someday. He sounds like he's awakened and he understands and he's doing everything he can. But he says, imagine this future. We're in the midst of a major economic downturn, which we are, with astronomical gas prices, ever-increasing food prices, hints of food shortages, everything we're covering here. Along with those shortages, you know, along with all what I just said, there are shortages from baby formula to new cars. And what this is doing is it's causing a growing discontent among the sheeple, so much so that national protests start to unfold. And I think we're going to see that here very soon, and even open insurgency becoming a possibility. Now, the government, what they have to do is declare a national emergency, and they immediately begin locking down communications in the various hotspots where civil unrest is present. Now, what would you do if this happened in your region? How would you communicate if your cell phone and internet went down? How would you get information on what's actually going on across the nation? How would you talk with your friends and family? How will you organize your community? How would you do all that? Well, folks, in the best case scenario, you could use an emergency ham radio network. And this event would be something that would be temporary, short-lived, and just a few days or a few weeks. And I'm talking about when phone and power utilities are down short-term. You know, like after a storm, or they'll feign some sort of reason. You know, a switching center blew up, or a major transformer site for the power grid went down. Whatever. Well, in these types of situations, the pre-existing ham radio network is a really good way to do it. And ham radio communications on a localized basis are very simple to establish. And you can really do this with very little effort. There's these ham radio operator clubs all around the country, and I'd encourage you to look one up in your area and join it. And they could be defined by the Fed's old civil defense program, which was recently. Yeah, Alvin, really. This is all out there. It's established. But the thing I wanted to say before you interrupted me, Alvin, was there's an awareness in the deep state that this could be used against them. So they actually deplatformed the civil defense group that was organized amongst all these amateur ham operators. So now these networks that are out there aren't really officially sanctioned anymore by the civil defense, which is very curious when you stop and think about it. But we can use these for peer-to-peer direct radio comm. And it's defined on a short term by the terrain and the geography and the distance. Now, you can buy a very reasonably priced base station for transmission up to 50 watts to even 100 watts, which will cover a fairly large area. And if you want to go further, you would want to get into repeaters. And there's even some now that are solar driven. And we'll talk more about that next week, I suppose. Now, don't confuse this with the old CB radios, you know, the 5 watts. And then you can get some that are half a watt handhelds. Those are only good for local. And that's not what I'm talking about. So don't be fooled into saying, oh, I have a CB radio out in the garage, I'll be okay. That's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about a licensed ham shortwave radio system. So like I said, look for your local ham radio clubs, join them, and then you can get coaching there for the test. And yes, there is a test, but you can take it online now, so practice it. Take it as many times as you have to until you memorize all the answers and the questions. And like I said, you can get a very reasonably priced ham radio. You can even find them on the used market on eBay. In those sorts of places for $25. Now, I don't know if they work, but my point is they're very reasonably priced. Now, that's a best-case scenario. You're going to need this for, say, 3 or 4 days, up to 3 or 4 weeks. In the worst-case scenario, the whole system goes down from an EMP attack or whatever, and you want to have this technology shielded so that it doesn't get blown out. Now, a lot of them are the old tube types, and I don't think they're going to be affected by an EMF. But anyways, in this situation, you'd have martial law. There's going to be a lot of control. And a little later, in Back to the Future, we're going to cover that they already have all the paperwork in place to do this. Now, they'll probably do things to try to stop us from communicating with ham radio. And one of the most popular methods is jamming. So they're going to put a signal, a specific frequency out to block through noise any reception of the transmissions that people are doing. And another thing they could do is triangulate. And that's where they get a couple receivers and they locate your position and they come and take you out. Now, a couple ways to get around that. One is by becoming mobile. So you can actually get these mobile ham systems and stay in your vehicle and do your communications and keep moving. Another way is to keep your power down. Use the minimum amount of power you have to. And then you can also use a technology called repeaters. And again, I can't cover all this here, but I wanted to tell you that I think it's important for us to look into ham radio operation as a way to get through this if we do lose our communications. But right now, folks, I'd like to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Hopium report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, I have two clips here I'd like to play for you, and it does give me some hope. In this first one, we have a professor from, where was it? Portland State University. He was conducting a thought experiment on campus when some libtards were up on the roof of a local building and they started whipping Bogossian the finger And he's the author of a book, How to Have Impossible Conversations. And what he did is he designed a critical thinking and moral reasoning experiment to establish consensus. And he tried to use it on contentious topics. So in this clip we're going to hear now, he is doing the thought experiment on the whole concept of, are there two genders or are there more? So let's listen to what Bogosian had to say in this next clip. This is our longest clip of the day, and it's about 8 minutes, but I just want you to listen to the dynamics between the professor and all of these libtard students that have been brainwashed.
What would it take for you to move, not all the way over there, just one line, just one line?
I guess if they told me how many genders specifically there were, I can't think of anything that would change my opinion, I guess. But
if you got some friends, you
know. Oh, you're giving me the finger? Hi. I'm standing in front of the social work building. I'm harming individuals by asking that question. What, you want to come down and have a conversation about it? Why do you want to come down and have a conversation? Oh. Okay, so what would it take for you to move to the strongly agree?
In this man's class, after a long, controversial 10 weeks of lectures in this giant auditorium, on the final day, he posed a question to the students. He says, if anybody has disagreed with anything I've said over the last 10 weeks, come down and sit in this chair in a spotlight in the middle of the auditorium. Here's a platform. Tell me to my face. Which is, I'm glad. I was the only one who walked down, and you gave me an A.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm so curious about what's happening out here.
Oh, it's a critical thinking game where we take a look at claims and you step on a line you want to play?
Well,
you want to watch the game played?
Well, we were watching from up there actually, because we happened to see the sign from up in the School of Social Work, which is on the sixth floor, and some of our trans students saw the statement, there are only two genders.
Well, thanks for coming down to talk.
It was pretty activating and upsetting, not knowing the context. We thought it was sort of a statement that was being made, but not a thought exercise necessarily.
Would you like to see how the game is played?
No.
I think we understand that.
Is it something that
yeah.
should be a game, though?
An exercise? You want to use defund the police as one?
Well, just thinking about what it looks like.
Yeah.
What does it look like
to
see, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 white men with a sign that says there's only two genders? You could have been, like, the Westboro Baptist Church girl.
What is white? Why did you identify us on the base of our race?
Well, are you the best people to be hosting that dialogue about...
No, but you...
Representative of that community.
Okay, but I asked you a question. Why did you identify me and these people on the base of their race?
What it looks like, right? Kind of like the activating, triggering aspect of it all.
So you think that it's morally acceptable to identify people on the basis of their race?
It's not a moral question. It's a matter of, like, the fact
it's
that...
It's just about power and privilege.
Exists.
Yeah, and representation, right? So if you have queer folks out here asking those kinds of questions... And
well, how do you know we're not queer?
That's true. I don't know. But there's not sort of a representative, holistic, inclusive feeling, especially from up on high. We're looking down and we see this statement being made. We're curious about it. We're also just worried about the harm being done to passersby.
What is the harm?
So there are people, people who went home because it was so triggering and
activating. We had some students.
So I think the end result is there...
You know you're on film, right?
That is totally fine.
Okay.
There are real people who are really hurt by this statement. So
what were they hurt about?
Because that's not how they identify, and so it seems like a really triggering statement to just say there are two genders, because that's not been your experience. So it's very harmful and very hurtful, and there's human lives that were affected, so I think that's the message we're trying to send, is to maybe consider the questions that you're asking or posing before you begin your thought experiment.
Are you curious about, like, what we're bringing to you at all, or do you have...
I'm thinking about, I'm extremely curious, and I'm extremely respectful. I genuinely respect the fact that you came, as opposed to 7 or 8 of you giving me the middle finger and saying, fuck you, to me. So, yeah. So, So
what do you gain from this? Like, what is your reason? That you just want to cause trouble, or like why are you here?
So I'm fascinated. I do street epistemology, and I'm fascinated if the people, epistemology is from the Greek, basically how you know what you think. Okay. So street epistemology is taking it out of the university and bringing it into the street. So I'm very curious. Okay, a sidewhak or a...
is it a 20-year-old like street epistemology? You're doing this on the...
Okay, if you don't like the word street, you can call it plaza epistemology. Whatever. But the idea is you take it out of the university and you see if the reasons that people have for things justify their confidence in it. So this is a confidence scale. We can do this with any claim you want. We can do this with a mayor of the city. We can do this with should the United States be funding Ukraine? I think it's $800 billion. Should the United States, is it more important to control inflation or employment? And we put people on a spectrum. They start on, let me just explain again. So you asked, so I'll tell you. So what am I going to do?
I think what we're saying is, and I think those questions are thought-provoking and important questions to ask folks in our community. I think what we were struck by was the statement on the board that it wasn't a question and that there was no context clues for folks, especially trans folks, to know that that was not your belief, but this is more of a thought experience.
Okay. Would you be more comfortable if it was a question? Like if I put a question mark...
Sure.
Okay, I'm more than happy to put a question at the end.
A question and not a statement.
More than happy to...
Some type of warning or a statement of, like, what you're doing on another board so people can walk by and, like, try and understand that. Mm-hmm. Because from afar, it looks...
This is a thought experiment.
Yeah. This is what we're asking people...
I'm more than happy to do that.
And then that way, it can kind of...
I'm more than happy to do that. I only have one board, but I'm more than happy to put on, this is a thought experiment, and put a question mark... If I put a question mark, I could. I don't know. I'm worried that people wouldn't be able to see it. But I'm more than happy. If I put a question mark at the end and then I put another one, it's not really, it is a thought experiment, but it's more of an exercise / game starts thought experiment. If I put that on the end, would all of the concern vaporize?
No, probably not, because we're talking about real humans with their lived experience and their positionality, their identities, you know, and sort of I might have a very different personal feeling walking by because it doesn't target my identity specifically. So we're just sort of here to sort of advocate and elevate who might be harmed by a statement.
What do you mean by harmed?
Harmed?
Yeah.
Well, people who have been like historically and currently oppressed, right, by dominant systems, patriarchy, whiteness, masculinity, all of the systems that harm people who don't fit within those sort of more rigid...
That's why you want a question and not a statement.
Can I also ask, like...
Now, I just want an answer. Is that's why you want a question, not a statement?
I think a question is an invitation, right?
More than happy to make it a question.
Participate in this conversation.
It's more than happy to do that.
You know, you're representing, you know, with your identity, a belief, perhaps, especially when it's a statement. And so what it looks like is you're out here saying, there are two genders. And then anyone who doesn't fall within those two sort of binary boxes.
I'm more than happy to do that. More than happy to say this is a thought experiment. No, let me just finish. More than happy to do that. But it seems that if I did that, that would not be enough.
I apologize, folks. I had my mic off. You know, that was painful to hear and even more painful to watch. I watched the entire, it's roughly 20 minutes, it's out on YouTube. And the lack of critical thinking, the ignorance and the hate from these college students, you know, these are the 20s and 30-somethings. It's truly stunning. So here you have a liberal professor who's actually sounding conservative and reasonable. You know, the actual offspring that their stinking thinking spawned is now coming back to eat them, so to speak. You know, you heard these students talking about feelings and experience. And feelings and experience have displaced facts and truth. And it's funny, listening to their language, it's actually hilarious if it wasn't so sad. You know, I had to pause it as soon as they started talking about how they were harmed. And, you know, they're the people that talk about inclusiveness and diversity, yet they're the most intolerable. And it's actually hilarious to listen to it. These people are crazy. And they remind me of that religious lady from the movie The Mist, who started demanding the sacrifice of people in the grocery store. I don't know if you saw that movie or not. But they're just total hollowed out shells of humanity that have been packed full of these lies, buying into this whole gender lie. Folks, gender is biology. And you don't have to make any decision concerning your gender based on your feelings or your experience. It's a physiologically defined identity. You're either a male or you're a female. Your chromosomes define it. Your genitalia define it. And to say anything other, to say it's a new social construct of your own making, is plain absurdity, folks. Absolute absurdity. You know, they're teaching today that biology is a science and we should trust the science with the whole scamdemic, yet they're not really using science there or with this whole gender argument. Now, the fact is, the truth is, that you're either male or female, with the rare exception if you're born a hermaphrodite and you have both male and female sexual organs. But then if you look at your DNA will define which you truly are. That is the naturally accepted biology. But this lost and brain-numb culture, this generation, is making a new quote-unquote social construct. And you can't blame people from my generation and even further back for this one, folks. We didn't create this social construct. We grew up with factual biological science. And when an individual decides to do what they choose to do on this and be something other than the two sexes, that's fine in a free and fair society. But that is not science. So these dykes and soy boys that you heard in that clip, they're creating this new social construct in their own minds, and now they're forcing the community which they're located in to embrace this. But folks, I'm telling you, this is the offspring of some stinking thinking that started back with the liberals in the 1970s. So you can choose to believe anything you want, but you cannot change biological scientific fact. There are two sexes, and if you choose to believe differently, you're the ones creating the new social construct and some stinking thinking. And then did you hear this? University of Wyoming graduates booed U.S. Senator off the stage during the spring's commencement ceremony last Saturday. And she stated, and this is Senator Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming, she stated in her commencement speech that there are only two sexes, male and female. And I quote her now, "Even fundamental scientific truths such as the existence of two sexes, male and female, are subjected to challenge these days." And when she said that, and her focus of the talk was modern challenges to being gatekeepers of the flames of liberty. Now, Lummis argued that Americans' rights are endowed by God, not created by the government. And she said, "You woke up this morning with more individual freedoms in the most creative, divinely inspired nation on earth. The transformations and disruptions I have alluded to are testing the very freedoms beyond watch." Now, we've quoted the Huxley concerning the loss of true freedom, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when that happens, typically sexual liberties are increased. And that's what we're seeing right now. Now, I put this in the hopium section because there's hope when you see a liberal professor baffled by the stupidity he's hearing. Maybe they're going to wake up and change what they're teaching. So it's hopium. And then I also have another clip. This is a former transvestite. I think it was female to male. But this former trans was on InfoWars, and they're at a protest, and they're basically telling these wackos, he's basically, or she is basically telling the wackos that they're wacko. listen to it. It's kind of noisy and ruckus filled, but it's out on the street and it's in the middle of a protest.
Oh, wow, you made out with a chick, wow.
Do you think I've never seen any two women kiss? I've been gay for 20 years. I saw all of it. I don't want to because you're going to hell.
You are a female, but then got your breast chopped off. That is, you mutilated your body.
I'm sorry. It's not because it didn't work out for you.
You mutilated your body. Thank you.
If you, hey, if you believe in gender dysphoria, if you believe in gender dysphoria, then you can't.
Nobody wants you here.
I do like to give it back because if I am invited somewhere to speak and to share my testimony and they're going to just shout me down, well, I can act as crazy as they can. And I do it really to troll them. I mean, that is why I do it, because they're trying to get under my skin. So I will equally get under their skin just by saying things like, you had your breast cut off, but you're still a woman. You cannot change your DNA. You still have a vagina, and you will never get rid of that. So you can mutilate your body, but you're still going to be a woman.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Out of the mouth of babes, folks, that's the truth. And then when you start to distort reality, look out. You lose all foundation and basis for law, justice, sound money, just government, all the things that this nation were established upon get washed away when you get into these situational ethics and these postmodern ways of stinking thinking. But we have to keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
This week, there was a protest in Austin for the whole Roe v. Wade scam that's out there. And, you know, there's talk of Justice Roberts released that. And isn't it interesting? That was released the same day 2000 Mules debuted. Isn't that interesting? But anyways, at this protest, Owen Scheuer from InfoWars was out in the crowd, and he was filming a mother, an Austin mom. And, you know, Austin is the hotbed of libtards in Texas. And it's sad how these people are moving out of their blue state cesspools and coming into these nice, clean, conservative environments and trying to foist their stinking thinking upon the people. But here you have this Austin mom telling Owen Scheuer that she tried to abort her son. I mean, how much more crazy or absurd can you get than that? So she pulls this nutty. Take a listen. Again, it's a rather loud interview. It's out in the crowd, and there's a lot of background noise. It's 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
All right, so you don't believe in the right to life then, right?
No, I didn't say that.
So you do believe in the right to life?
I believe in choice.
So does this baby have a right to life right here?
I believe in choice. Mm-hmm. I believe
how many beating hearts does a human have? Don't touch me. How many beating hearts does a human have?
Talk to my child.
How many? Aren't you glad she didn't abort you?
I almost did. I mean, it didn't
work. Wow. Aren't you glad you didn't abort him?
No.
He's a beautiful young boy. He's got all kinds of potential.
So you're gay?
I think all life is beautiful. I'm pro-life. I believe in the right to life. I'm glad that he was born. How does that ruin the life? Did you ruin your mother's life? She's assaulting me again. This was you at one point, my friend. She wanted to kill you. Aren't you glad she didn't?
That's a cluster of cells.
She said that's a baby.
I mean, that's a baby.
This is a baby at like 37 weeks. Nobody aborts 37-week-old fetuses, you dumb fucking dolt. Nobody gets aborted. abortions at 37 weeks.
Actually, it happens all the time.
No, it doesn't. Name one woman. Give me a statistic, you fucking pussy.
Okay, 9 months. Democrats.
Give me a statistic.
All right, Democrats.
Give me a statistic.
Okay, can we arrest somebody out here, please? Can we please arrest somebody out here for assault, or are they allowed to assault people all day out here?
She just knocked his camera.
This crazy lunatic has now assaulted me, and the cops won't do anything about it. So there you go. Don't engage. They all know this is a baby. They all admit this is a baby right here. There you go. That was you at one time, sir, or ma'am, or whatever you are. That was you at one time. You had a right to life. You got born. How are you doing? You've been in my face for about 20 minutes now. How are you doing, bud?
Unelected judges appointed for lifetime term should not have whatever you are, you don't say that. This institution makes a mockery out of democracy.
You don't say that.
The court.
Like I said, you can't make this stuff up. It is crazy, folks. Did you hear her saying there that nobody gets an abortion at 37 weeks? And then she's in his face right before she knocked the camera down. Prove it. Prove it. Give me statistics. Well, apparently she's never heard about partial birth abortion. And she hasn't heard about former Governor Northam, who fights for the right of mothers to kill their one-month-old babies. Or what about Barack Obama, who supported the murder of babies that survived abortion? These are just a few of the things that he actually voted on in the House, the Illinois House, back when he was a senator in Illinois. Folks, I'm telling you, people like her and her sidekicks are sick. Abortion is a satanic practice, and rituals are often performed in clinics. And there's this website, thesatanictemple.com, and it talks about the religious abortion ritual. So if you don't believe me, folks, go out and get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. The Satanic Temple just recently announced that its satanic abortion ritual exempts the Satanic Temple members from having to endure any kind of medically unnecessary and unscientific regulations when seeking to terminate their pregnancy. Now, the ritual involves the recitation of two or three of their tenets and a personal affirmation that is ceremoniously intertwined with the abortion. Can you believe this? This is insane, folks. And the prerequisite procedures for a waiting period, mandatory viewing, the sonograms, and compulsory counseling all go out the window when you claim the satanic religious conviction. So they literally perform this religious ritualistic abortion to circumvent some of the procedures that are in place, like the waiting period, the mandatory viewing of the sonogram, and the compulsory counseling. And they're doing this under the auspices of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Now, these clinics, remember, and we covered this on the show, they double as tissue factories. They deliver high volumes of butchered baby parts. And I'm sorry, folks, that I'm so graphic, but that's the truth, to both colleges and government agencies like the FDA and the CDC. And in one experiment, the Health and Human Services Department was using human fetal cells to try to humanize mice. Remember we talked about that? I think the fraud Fauci was involved with that. And how about the beagles and what he was doing with the beagles? This is sick stuff, folks. And then if you research this a little deeper, you see that some of this fetal tissue is found in food products and even cosmetics. And they use it as a primary incubator substrate for growing and culturing vaccines. Now, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, you remember her? She was a racial eugenicist, and she hated black people. And you know, most abortions disproportionate to demographic are done in black communities on black people, and in many cases by black people. Now, the psychopath Bill Gates, he likes to brag that his dad was a eugenicist and the head of Planned Parenthood while he was growing up. And I think a lot of his stinking thinking comes from his family. Just look where the tree, you know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, so to speak, folks. Now, anyone can look at this in a sane and rational way, recognize the absurdity of this, And when you do that, you have to conclude that this country has become both spiritually and morally bankrupt. Now, there's a website out there called TryTorch.com, and they have this page on there called the Abortion Slope. So go to TryTorch.com, Abortion Slope, and just take a look at this. And they go through this and show that we're on this plunge to total and absolute moral bankruptcy. And it's right there. It's all documented. It's very easy to see. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving. It's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
You know, folks, I've seen a lot in my life, and with what I'm seeing unfolding all around us right now, and it's happening at warp speed, my sense is that the day of reckoning is coming sooner rather than later. And I'm referring to the day of reckoning for these vile, degenerate, evil crooks in Washington. I believe there's going to be a day of reckoning. And I'm talking about the demon rats and the rhinos. You know, they're behaving like cornered rats right now. And that's a very dangerous situation, because when you get into that scenario and they can't advance their agenda anymore with proxy wars in the Ukraine and their drive towards the Great Reset, they're going to do something that's very dangerous. Maybe they're going to cause a nuclear war. Maybe they're going to release another deadly pathogen. Maybe they are going to collapse the economy or create these engineered food shortages. Whatever it is, I'm telling you that the drive behind it is this illegitimate, I'm going to refer to them as an occupation government installed by a stolen election in 2020, and I think that's fairly well documented now with 2,000 mules, and you don't have to get into any kind of fancy algorithms or programs on a corrupted voting machine. All you have to do is watch these people literally stuff hundreds and thousands of ballots in these drop boxes. So right now, there is a war of subversion and destruction against we the people being foisted upon us by these globalists, these satanic neocons, and their media mouthpieces are promoting a nuclear war with the Ukraine, with Russia over the Ukraine, you know? And it's causing a destruction of so much that we've spent generations to build with sacrifices beyond description, folks. And it's all being destroyed right now. They're destroying small business. They're destroying community. They're destroying rationality. And they're doing it through this fake COVID narrative. And now the jabs, you know, they just approved the booster shot for the 5 to 11-year-olds. And then what was so ironic, last night on the local news, right before that report, they talked about this outbreak of childhood hepatitis. And they just can't explain it. Well, they won't look under the vaccine rock, so to speak, but that's where the answer lies. And a lot of this stuff goes all the way back to the establishment of the Bankster-owned Federal Reserve in 1913. That in and of itself was a violation of the U.S. Constitution, and it provided a mechanism for the globalists to plunder the wealth of America by controlling the value of our labor through the creation of unearned and therefore counterfeit dollars out of absolutely nothing. And then most of those dollars ended up in their pockets. And the stolen loot was then used to buy up the assets of America, you know, factory, land, technology, and then to pay off all the politicians at all levels and judges and the various agencies like the FDA and the CDC and the NIH, and then throw in their corporations with their bailouts and the too big to fail banks and the mass media and Hollywood. You know, we've talked about how Hollywood was hyped and set up through propaganda and then infiltrated by the CIA. You know, the measure of the magnitude of the theft is just unfathomable, folks. You know, back in 1913, you could buy a coin, a 1 ounce gold coin, for 20 U.S. dollars. Today, you need over 1,800 to buy that 1 ounce of gold. That means that there's been over a 95% loss of the purchasing power in one century. And a major portion of that loss was at the expense of we the people. And the gain went to the international criminal banking cabal that's controlling all the Western nations and driving us in Operation Lockstep towards the Great Reset. Like I always say, just follow the yellow brick road as Dorothy did in The Wizard of Oz. And remember, that story was a political satire of exactly what we see happening right now. A crime, a financial crime perpetrated upon we the people. So just follow the money, folks, and the debasement of the money through the most evil system of theft and plunder ever devised by mankind. And it's going to lead you right to the enemies of humanity themselves. The global cabal, the bankers who want to have a sustainable world with a population of 500 million. And remember, there's 7 pushing 8 billion people in this world now. So there's going to be about 1 out of 15 or 16 remaining standing. And that's a very sobering point. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving. It's time for Back to the Future. The segment where we take something old and bring it back to the future. And today we're going to wind the clock back, not way far back, but back to 2006, March 9th, 2000 to be exact. That's the National Communication System, the NCS approved Standard Operating Procedure 3. Now, the sad thing is this agency doing all the bidding for the deep state tax to release this to the public. The secret document, it codifies a shutdown and a restoration process for commercial and private wireless networks during a time of national crisis. And I'm telling you, folks, that's real. So everything we talked about in Coop Talk, about setting up bombs, there's a reason I talked about that. And it's because it's locked and loaded and ready to do it. They have it all set up through the Standard Operating Procedure 303. But don't despair, because a group called epic.org filed a lawsuit under the FOIA laws to have this information released. Now, EPIC stands for the Electronic Information Privacy Center, and it was established in 1994, and I'm putting out to protect privacy, freedom of expression, and quote-unquote democratic values in the information age. Now, that last part, get tongue-in-cheek, democratic values. We've talked about the difference between a democracy and a republic here on this show, and I just think they're falling into the mainstream consensus with democracy. But anyways, there's this lawsuit out there, and it's EPIC versus the DHS, SO-303, and in this 2006-2007 report, National Security Telecommunications indicated that SOP 303 would be implemented at the National Coordinating Center, that's the NTC and the STAC, while the decision to shut down service will be made by State Homeland Security advisors or individuals at the Department of Homeland Security. And this report indicates it will determine if a shutdown is necessary based on a series of questions. So around 2006, the Department of Homeland Security created this protocol, and then they got it established and notified. And now we have they can literally, at any time, based on an individual's whim, shut down the entire communication system. Now, crushing rebellions and insurgencies, an obsession of the globalists. And they talk about it in their tanks. Anything from DARPA to RAND and everything in between, you know, like the Council on Foreign Relations and Davos. They spend millions of dollars and thousands of man hours seeking more effective ways to stop we the people from acting independently from the government in the central bank-controlled economy. That's what the Bitcoin situation's about and their deliberate attempt to crash it. Decentralized currency, folks. Decentralized economics. That's why they have the disinformation board. You know, the Ministry of Truth. That's decentralized. Media. Anything that isn't controlled by the deep state is a threat to the deep state. And perhaps the most vital key to hindering public opposition to extreme centralization would be to shut down communications. And that's what this Standard Operating Procedure 3.3 is all about. Now, it's very secretive, and we know it's been out there since at least 2006. Can't get it. And sadly, that lawsuit by Epic was lost. So we still don't have the actual document. But why do I have this in Back to the Future? Well, just this week, it looks like the United States is going to hand over sovereignty to the World Health Organization concerning pandemics and how they're going to be managed in the future. And let me ask you a question. If a man breaks into your house, does he have the right to restrain you and then remove you from your home and involuntarily sell you into slavery? Well, of course not. And then does your neighbor have the right to come over and take your vacant house and sell your house? Well, of course not. Does anyone in your neighborhood, let's say a radius of 2 miles around your home, have the right to dictate to you on how to run your household? Well, of course not. So applying this logically, in any free and fair society, does the government have the right to tell you something that you must do or comply with if your neighbor can't ask you to do it? Think about that, folks. That's the difference between a free and fair society and a totalitarian society. Now, when you talk about this loss of sovereignty to the World Health Organization, and you think about who's involved, you know, Bill Gates is the second largest financier to the World Health Organization, second only to the United States government. And what just happened here with all these nations around the world? They just basically handed over their nation's rights to manage non-governmental organization, the World Health Organization. Now, more from this article out of the Organic Prepper. So at the end of the month, they're going to sign this treaty and give the UN and the World Organization all the power necessary to enforce whatever measures are required in a health crisis. Well, who defines what's required? Bill Gates? Come on, folks. You know, we've exhausted all the measures to right what was once a great republic here in the United States. And we're virtually on the precipice of total free fall. And I think we're close to being reduced to nothing but ashes, folks. And sadly, I think we're close to having to arms and wait to restore our republic, period. And do that if they implement Protocol 303 and shut down communications, so important to that will be AM radio communications network. Now, another reason is, you know, 2,000 Mules came out, and there's been a blackout. And Fox has said you can't play this. But one of the Fox affiliates, I think it was out in Iowa, I have a clip here. See if I can look Fox. Fox, I think I'll find it with the keyword 2,000. Nope. This is where I could really sound engineer, folks. So let's see if I can this up. 2,000 Mules. There it is, 2,000. Okay, here we have a local Fox affiliate putting on 2,000 Mules, and they call it fair and balanced. And, you know, other than the fact that they had to throw D'Souza under the bus, I think it was hopeful. So listen to this report.
A film alleging widespread fraud in the 2020 presidential election is being shown in theaters across the country this week, including in De Pere tonight.
Media fact checkers are poking holes into the theories that are being presented in this film. However, supporters say there is enough evidence that law enforcement investigations should be launched. Fox 11's Ben Krumholtz brings us balanced news coverage.
About 150 people filed into the De Pere Cinema Tuesday night for the area's first public showing of 2,000 Mules.
I'm concerned about the security of the last election in particular. And when I heard about Dinesh D'Souza doing a documentary on it, I wanted to see. I want to know how the Democrats did it.
Dinesh D'Souza, a Republican filmmaker, created 2,000 Mules. In 2014, D'Souza was convicted of illegal political contributions, but President Donald Trump pardoned him a few years later. The film alleges at least 2,000 people, called mules, were paid by activist organizations to illegally return absentee ballots to drop boxes in swing states, including Wisconsin. Using cell phone data, the film claims each mule was tracked to make an average of 38 drop box visits in the weeks leading up to the election, putting in an average of 5 ballots per visit. In Wisconsin, 100 mules were identified as making an average of 28 drop box visits. The research comes from True the Vote, a Texas-based nonprofit whose leaders testified in front of Wisconsin's Assembly Committee for Campaigns and Elections in March. Republican State Representative Janelle Branchen of Menominee Falls chairs the committee.
Ping technology is part of our phones, and it adds real facts to the conversations about who's been around the drop boxes.
So there you have it. A local Fox affiliate in Wisconsin had the courage to do what Fox News Network won't, and that's run a piece on 2,000 mules. Now, this is how I'm tying this into Protocol 303. Let's just suppose enough people hear about this fraud, and I watched a clip out of it last night, and I got visually disturbed. I got so upset I couldn't fall asleep. It showed this one woman repeatedly going to this one drop box in Wisconsin and literally trying to shove hundreds of ballots into this slot designed to receive one. Yet nothing's being done. So let's just suppose enough people, critical mass is achieved, and then they realize, hey, we can't control this outrage anymore. We can't control this awakening. And then down comes the comms. Well, that's why we need ham radios, folks. Now, when the time comes, they're going to take down the cell phone network and internet, and they're going to unveil the beast, also known as the Antichrist. So that's why I opened this show saying we all have to know about the beast. We're going to focus on Revelation chapter 13, the first 18 verses. And I'm telling you, folks, there's only one book that can tell us about the future with absolute certainty, and that's the Holy Bible. And it even warns us of the wicked world leader that's queued up, ready to be unveiled, the evil dictator. Now, he has many aliases, and two of these aliases are the beast and the Antichrist. So today I hope to learn and help you understand how to recognize the beast by what God's word has to say about him. Now, he's not going to be some ugly monster. He's going to be very appealing to the worldly eye. Handsome, in fact, charming. But not only will he be handsome and charming, there's going to be this facade of confidence and this, I got it all under control. But in the end, he's going to destroy the lives and souls of so many. Now, he's going to be able to fool most of the people. But my prayer for you and me as believers is that we'll be able to discern the truth and we'll be able to see through his lies. Now, the beast is literally lurking in the wings of his story, and that's the story of Jesus Christ history. He's poised and ready to spring into the world. And he's not an animal and an ugly dragon like his dad, Satan. No, he's a suave and sophisticated man with a heart that's cruel and wicked like his predecessor, Satan himself. Now, the Bible calls him a man of sin and the son of perdition. So he's headed to judgment. But before his judgment, he's going to have a horrible impact on this world. So there are factors at play in this world today that are going to lead to his rise to power. And the first one, social upheaval. And that's going to be how the beast is literally delivered to the world stage. He's going to rise up out of the sea. And that's a figure of speech. And you see that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And this is St. John giving this account. He said, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, that doesn't mean that he's some sort of sea creature or sea monster. No, 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 no. That's a symbol. Okay, and the sea means the peoples. And in Revelation 17, verse 15, John writes, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, and this is referring back to what John just gave us an account to in chapter 13, verse 1, where the whore sitteth are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues. So I'm not making up this interpretation of symbology. The angel actually told John what it was 4 chapters later in chapter 17, verse 15. So this seething sea, so to speak, represents the nations of the world. And then in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, we read, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no place, saith my God, to the wicked." Folks, I'm telling you a truth here with this next statement. The world will never have peace, and its peoples will continue to be like the stormy, heaving sea, with no peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns to rule and reign. And that'll happen soon, and it'll be for a period of 1,000 years. So out of this seething sea of unrest, we'll see the Antichrist seated on his throne. Think of all the current circumstances and the chaos in the world today, from the unrest in the Middle East that we always have, to this new manufactured crisis in Ukraine with Russia, and the pending economic collapse in the Eurozone from the cutoff of everything from food to gas and oil from Russia. And then we've got the riots in Asia already because of the food crisis, till these energy shortages really kick in. You're going to see that same social upheaval in Europe. Now, this won't end in collapse like most people think, rather in a reunification of Europe, as it's going to be the revived Roman Empire. Now, we've had things in the past like Occupy Wall Street protests, and then we have this giant, the 200 million man army in China starting to rise. And there's actually talk that there's going to be a land invasion here in the United States, maybe even as early as November. I don't know if that's true or not, folks, but it's out there in the alt media right now. Then there's North Korea and ISIS and all these unreasonable attacks by both the left and the deep state against President Trump. And we talked about Madison Cawthorn and what's going on with Dr. Oz in the primary here in Pennsylvania. And I don't know what to think of Oz. He might be the lesser of two evils. But then we have all these other things going on, like the strange weather. I mean, in Denver yesterday it was 90, and today I think they're getting snow. We're going to be super hot today. I think 95 here in western Pennsylvania tomorrow. It's going to be the 60s. That's weather wars, folks. That's the deep state attack against the people of this nation. So we have crop collapses and famine, quakes all around the world, political chaos, economic crises. You could just go on and on. And out of this seething social chaos, the beast shall arise. So this social upheaval is going to deliver the beast. And then we're going to see that the beast has satanic attributes that describe him. And we can see that in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragons gave him power in his seat," that's his throne, "and gave great authority." Now, there's a lot of symbolism there, folks. But the one point to see here is that this is very much like the description given for the old serpent called the devil and Satan in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And why is this? Because like father, like son. You know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, so to speak. So the beast is literally the son of Satan. He's the devil in human flesh. Like I said, like father, like son. Now, just like Jesus, the beast, or actually Satan will say, the beast is going to say this, "When you have seen me, you have seen my father." So he's literally the offspring of the dragon or Satan. Now we see all these other creatures as well. There's a lion and the bear and the leopard. And Daniel tells us that these represents the empires of the past. And I believe this all shows that the beast will have all of these characteristics of the past empires and more. So he's going to have the stateliness of the lion, yet with the teeth to rip and tear. The brute strength of the bear with fierce claws to embrace and hold. And the speed of the leopard to spread his kingdom like wildfire, just like Alexander the Great did. So this beast will have all these beastly characteristics. And the world who's rejected the Lamb of God will willingly receive the beast. Now, Jesus warned us about this in John chapter 5, verse 43, where he said, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. So right there, Jesus is saying, you rejected me, but you're going to accept this beast. And this beast will literally receive his power from none other than the devil himself. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him, that's the beast, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So this beast is going to be the visual expression of the invisible devil. The devil's literally going to give his son, his offspring, great power. Now, when Jesus was here on earth, he was confronted by the devil out in the desert, you know? And in Luke chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we see that the devil said unto him, that's Jesus, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So who delivered all this to Satan? Well, that goes all the way back to the fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did. Now, do you notice Jesus didn't say, it's not yours to give, Satan? You know what I'm talking about when Jesus rebuked him. So Satan has a legal, legitimate claim to this world. And he made a legitimate offer to Jesus when he was out there in the desert. And he tempted him. And all Jesus had to do was bow down and worship Satan. But instead, Jesus rebuked Satan with the word of God. Now, this encounter between Jesus and Satan foretells of a much greater conflict between Satan and another man who's going to accept the offer from Satan to bow down and worship. And that's the beast. And he's going to be given all the kingdoms of the earth. And this is all legitimate, folks, because of what I just covered here. So now we've seen the social agitation that's going to introduce the beast on stage and the satanic attributes that he's going to be given by none other than the devil himself when he bows down to the beast. And there's also this third attribute that we have to be aware of, and that's the seductive appeal that covers him or disguises him. And that I like to call the mystery of iniquity. The world's been brainwashed to think evil comes packaged in these stereotypical ways, you know, the devil with his red suit and the horns and the pitchfork, the bank robber with his mask and the gun, the evil dictator with his horrible regime of oppression. You know what I'm talking about? And today in a lot of the television programming and the streaming services, you always see an anti-hero. Like take The Sopranos, for example, Tony Soprano. You want to cheer for him, yet he's a gangster. He murders people, not just once or twice, but if you watch any of those shows, he's always killing people. The next one, he's hugging his wife and kissing his daughter. That's what I'm talking about, folks. Same thing with Better Call Saul. If you ever watch that show, they have all these anti-heroes. There's not a single good person on there. Yet you have to cheer for these people. That's the mystery of iniquity. And Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, and no mortal, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to his works. So Satan's sinister ministers are preaching a distorted gospel, full of half-truths and false salvation from the pulpits all around the world, while the banks are being robbed by the tyrants that rule from the halls of Congress and the White House. Don't even get me started on that, folks. Remember, the worst kind of treason is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Now, this beast will not be the stereotypical beast with long claws and yellow teeth. I think we all know that now. The term beast is not speaking of his appearance here, but rather his character, okay? So outwardly, he's going to be suave and intelligent and sophisticated, probably going to have the finest designer suits on and wear the most expensive colognes and aftershaves. And he's going to do all these wonderful things for the people at first. And Israel's going to literally think he's their Messiah. It says in Revelation chapter 13, verses 2 through 5, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So he's going to speak great things. He's going to establish a false peace. And Daniel tells us that by his peace, many will be destroyed. Folks, I'm telling you, this passage even indicates some sort of false resurrection. Now, there may be some things that Satan brings to the world that seem pretty awesome, and it's going to literally bring most of the world to their knees in worship of the false Messiah. But take heed, folks, and know that these are the lying signs and wonders of the devil. Now, in addition to the father Satan and his son, the beast, or the Antichrist, remember, anti means both against and in place of. We have the false prophet. And this false prophet that I believe to be the mainstream media will tell the story of his false resurrection worldwide, and that's going to be straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I think at that point, most people are going to fall down on their faces and worship him. Now, they're going to package the beast, they being the mainstream media, with seductive appeal, and it's going to sway many. So far now, we've looked at the social agitation that's going to bring him out onto the stage, the seductive appeal that he's going to have, and the satanic attributes that he gets from Satan when he bows down to worship him. Now, finally, let's look at, well, actually, there's a few more here. Let's look at his sinister ambitions. So Jesus came to seek and save that which has been lost, but the thief came but to kill, steal, and destroy. That's out of John chapter 10, verse 10. So he has these unholy, sinister ambitions, and the first one's to deify Satan. It says in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 13, and they worship the dragon, this dragon Satan, folks, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast. Now, folks, earlier on in the Absurdian report, we talked about the poor Satan having their ritualistic abortion. You can't make this stuff up. Satan's always wanted to be worshipped, and that's why he, formerly known as Lucifer, fell. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. In fact, let's read it. I have it right here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. So Satan's at work right now today with the Bible scholars and the translation committees, trying to convince Christians that Lucifer's not Satan, and that Isaiah 14 isn't talking about Lucifer and his fall to become Satan through pride. Friends, I'm telling you, that's a blatant, bald-faced lie. I have done the research on this, and those verses from ancient Hebrew literally mean Satan is Lucifer. And if you'd like to see this, email me. I'm telling you, Lucifer is Satan, and this is the mystery of iniquity. So the secret societies like the Masons, they worship Lucifer, and they try to convince Christians that Satan was not the serpent in Genesis 3. You know, the story of the fall of man? But it's all lies. I'm telling you, folks, it's all lies. Lucifer fell from heaven because of pride, and now he's known as Satan. That's his official office, the accuser. But he's retained much of his past glory and still can appear to man as the angel of light. So the Masons worship Lucifer, as do many government officials, in their annual gatherings like Bohemian Grove, and, you know, they have the Davos Summit right now in Switzerland, and they're actually bringing hallucinogens. They're bringing some of the psychedelic pros out, and they're going to have psychedelic trips at Davos, and that opens the portals and the gates to hell. So men and women in positions of power have been and are at this moment worshiping Satan. I can't make this up. This is all truth here, folks. Now, I know this sounds incredible, but it's all true. Do you need more proof? Not convinced? All you need to do is email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the proof you need. Folks, I'm telling you, and I'm warning you, we're living in a time of great peril, and this beast is coming to deify the Savior. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So he's going to speak great things and blasphemies. And he's going to turn people away from the one true God in droves with his eloquent tongue, his forked tongue. Remember the mystery of iniquity. It won't be the speech of some foul-mouthed sailor during a drunken bar brawl, you know. No, no. These are going to be eloquent words. He's going to tell you about some false creation story, that we came from aliens and were made of stardust or whatever, you know. He's going to tell you that you're a god. Lies. All lies, folks. But they're going to be logical at face value. But at the core, they're rotten, I'm telling you. You remember when Pope Francis declared that evolution and Big Bang Theory are real and God is not a magician with a magic wand? That was out for several years. So you even have the Pope himself getting to the point where he's about ready to deify Satan and deny the true Savior. Plus, the beast's goal is to destroy the saints. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." So yes, there's going to be tribulation of the saints, folks, but we won't see the wrath of God. Now remember those five wise virgins with their wicks trimmed and their vessels full of the Holy Spirit? They're going to be rescued in the rapture, but a great number will be saved, and sadly, a great number are going to go through the great tribulation. Now, these won't be the tares left behind in the churches. This won't be those who heard the truth and repented. These are going to be the ones that instead delighted in their iniquity. And how can I say this? Well, I didn't say it. God did. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, it reads, "Even him whose coming is after the works of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. And they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Friends, we got to get it right, or we're going to get left behind. But not only is he going to destroy the saints, he's going to dominate society. That's his purpose. That's his plan, folks. He's going to dominate society. The last part of verse 7, it says, "And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." That's global control, folks. He's going to drive for a unification of all nations. That's the great reset, folks. Will be on all fronts. A unifying solution after World War III will spring out of the ashes from this Ukraine that's going to morph into conflict in the Middle East. You know, you've got Israel right now ready to strike Iran and their nuclear facilities. And then put on top of that, the global financial collapse, it's going to cause harm to many. You're going to have people crying for relief. You're going to have people crying for a savior, for a unified currency, for order. Now, he's going to bedazzle a lot with his false glitter, and he's going to browbeat those who don't comply. And don't we already see that? All the world's going to follow him, and he's going to dominate society, except for the Klingons, so to speak, the outliers. He's also going to delude sinners whose names are not written in the book of life. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it reads, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world." So many are going to be deceived, and they're going to think this dude's wonderful. And they're going to become his foot soldiers, a lot like Hitler's brown shirts. Call him the Beast. They're going to have some wonderful name for him. They're going to worship him. Remember, Satan doesn't want casualties. He wants converts. And the closer we get to this time, I'm telling you, the more open it's going to be with witchcraft and Satan worship and the occult and all this craziness. Don't you see it right now, folks? It's open season on Christians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 reads, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, I mentioned this. I mentioned this scripture because there's going to be a promotion of the beast. The false prophet, I believe, like I said, is the mainstream media, and they're going to promote him. They're going to promote him. They're going to build him up, and they're going to make him look like Mr. Wonderful. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 reads, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the sea, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now remember, the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther called Satan God's ape. Satan literally wants to imitate God, and that's what he does so well, folks. He has his unholy trinity, the dragon or the anti-God, the beast or the anti-Christ, and the false prophet, the anti-Holy Spirit. And like I said, the false prophet's going to have the power to cause the world to worship the beast. And that's why I think it's the mainstream media. You know, does the TV show American Idol strike a nerve with you? You see my point, folks? The American Idol. See what they can do with some unknown singer? They could create this star status. Well, what do you think they could do with the beast then? The false prophet will be able to feign a miracle. Can you say Pixar and Steve Jobs? Folks, it was Jobs' task when he was involved with Pixar to create illusions that will be needed to deceive many. Do you know he had top security clearance from the federal government while he worked at Pixar's? What's he need that for? You ever hear of Project Bluebeam? An article released in Wired magazine way back in 2012, and it says the government released Steve Jobs' FBI file Thursday, including details of a background check done for a presidential appointment in 1991 and a Bob threat against him in 1985. The document also indicates that Jobs had a top security clearance while working at Pixar. And you can read this at Wired.com. So, folks, I'm telling you, I'm so tired of the lies. I see them and they're creeping into our churches. And I'm not going to remain silent anymore. We are literally at war with iniquity, and Satan's our enemy, and he's deceiving Christians all across America. So wake up, America. The time is late. I'm telling you, the sinister minister of propaganda, the false prophet, the media, will use three methods to unify the world under the beast, and that's fire, the image, and the mark. So first, let's talk about fire. It says in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men." Remember the shock and awe of Gulf War I? Maybe you were too young for that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. The governments have weaponized technologies, and they're going to make men tremble when they see these various technologies unleashed. And it's based on science and technology and Nikola Tesla, which is a suppressed technology. Have you ever heard of HAARP? H-A-A-R-P? Well, search for it. And if you can't find anything on it, email me and ask me about it, and I'll send you all you want to know. But I'm telling you, these governments have power to set the heavens ablaze and to literally shake the earth. They're gonna bedazzle millions when this fury of technology is unleashed. But not only is there going to be fire, there's also going to be the image. Revelation chapter 13, verse 14 reads, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." So not only with global TV were they going to promote the beast at the right time, then they're going to unleash, like I mentioned, Project Bluebeam, and it's going to appear as if Jesus is returning in heavens for the Christians, and every other religion is going to be deluded into thinking their Messiah has come back. Now, if you don't believe me, just email me, and I'll send you all the information you care to read on this, folks. It's all true. Now, there's a good article to start with, and it's out on educateyourself.org, and it's called Project Bluebeam. Just check it out. So the false prophet has the fire and the image and also the mark. And I want to hear about that right now. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 reads, "And he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads." They're literally going to control commerce, folks. They have this technology known as Verichip. It's been for years. You can chip your dogs with it. It's been chipped way back years ago on Good Morning America. keep them safe. And you can watch it. There's a YouTube video out there. And it's all done in the name of security. And we've been talking about keeping ourselves safe and protecting ourselves. But, you know, I think it was Ben Franklin that if you give up a little bit of your freedom for safety, soon you'll have better. It's all a lot, folks. The stage has been set. It's all here. So I'm imploring you to please, please prepare. If I can say one thing to you, folks, get ready. Because what's coming is going to rock your world. So please prepare. Out of the sea shall come a beast, and he will seduce and deceive the multitudes. He will be proclaimed as the peacemaker. He's far from a peacemaker, folks. So now you may be thinking, well, okay, and I'm not sure that you've got this all right. Well, maybe I don't, because we all see dimly through the glass. But I know one thing for certain, folks, one thing. You know what that one thing is? Jesus is coming back, and we had all better be ready. And we all need to be telling the world that Jesus is coming back. So, folks, in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in, never, no, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit, he lives in you and me, and he's going to give you the power you need. Like the Bible says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you all, folks. Stay the course, and I'll be back here next week, provided the Lord's willing. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and worship the Lord, that same power.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.